morning, Saskatchewan. What a wonderful Wednesday. Above normal temperatures. Look, Regina, 30 today. Saskatoon, highs around 26 or 27. And this beautiful weather looks like it's going to stick around for at least another week or so. Well above our normal daytime highs. Run around 15, 16 degrees. A lot of people are keeping an eye on the situation around this ostrich farm in British Columbia. And of course, it's all come to a head here this week. It started last year, last December. This farm has a large group of ostriches, and a large number of those birds contracted avian bird flu and died or had to be put down. There was, I think, almost 70 of them. They now have about 400 of these massive birds there. Canadian Food Inspection Agency plans to cull that herd, plans to destroy that herd of 400. And it is something that, as I say, each and every day we're watching to see what's happening. And we're joined right now by Brenna Owen, Canadian press reporter, who is right there at this ostrich farm in British Columbia. Good morning, Brenna.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What's the status now? I understand there were a couple of arrests last night. They've been released. But what's going on with the birds?
I arrived this morning to the farm at about 6:30, and I saw there had actually been a fire at the bales of hay that officials have used to build a wall of sorts in part of the ostrich pen. The wall was built yesterday, so I could see charred and blackened marks on some of the bales, and they were still smoldering. I could see workers spraying the bales with water, but I could also see ostriches in the area. So I was parked up on the highway looking down at the farm and the property, and I can see could see ostriches moving around. So to me, it does not appear that the cull has started. It seems like they're still kind of dealing with the fire situation that arose in the early hours this morning or overnight.
So as you're saying, they had made like a bale barricade, I guess, a bale wall, probably to contain ostriches and probably to reduce the view of people like yourself. Anybody in the police or anything right now saying anything about how the fire started?
No. So police on site, I talked to one officer. He said he couldn't provide details. The head media relations officer had not yet arrived on site, so I didn't have a chance to ask him. But no, police have not said anything about the fire. The farm co-owner, Dave, said, you know, this is not something one of his supporters would have done. But I don't think we have those details at this point. But it does seem to kind of have delayed the process towards the cull of the ostriches. And the CFIA did move in on Monday with police escort. And the two people that you mentioned, the arrests yesterday, it was Katie Pasitny, the daughter of one of the farm's co-owners, and her mother was also arrested. And they were arrested for basically refusing to leave the ostrich pen yesterday. And they were allowed to return home back to the property. They just can't go back inside the pen, which is now under CFIA control.
What's the sense? What's the mood of the people that are outside the compound there, those that have come to show their support for the family and for the ostriches? Have they resigned themselves to the fact that these birds are going to be destroyed this week?
It's kind of a mix, to tell you the truth. It ebbs and flows. Katie, you know, says she still has hope, but also that this is the hardest moment their family has ever faced. Among the supporters, folks were very upset yesterday, coming face to face with some of the police officers and yelling after Katie and her mother were arrested. But then they kind of oscillate towards, you know, praying for a miracle and believing that that something will step in to save the birds. So,
is there quite a large number of people on, you know, the inside with the CFIA people and the police, and then the protesters on the outside, the supporters?
It's hard to tell how many police and CFIA officials exactly are here because the area that they're controlling is quite large and you can't see into it in everywhere. As far as the supporters, a few dozen for sure, kind of ebbing and flowing over the last 3 days. I arrived on Monday. Some folks are camping here in a field. Others are coming and going through the day.
I don't know if you'd know this, but has there been any conversation with the owners? Do they have any kind of insurance or any sort of compensation that they might be able to access if indeed this 400 bird herd is destroyed?
Actually, that's a good question, which I don't want to speak out of turn. I have heard something about compensation, but I don't want to confirm that. So I'll have to look into that myself.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you being available. Brenna Owen, a Canadian press reporter who's on scene there in British Columbia. And you get the sense that the people on the outside looking in, they're there to stay until this thing is resolved one way or the other?
I think for sure. There's folks who have like really been coming and going since January. I think supporters of the farm are definitely going to stay put until we see the outcome of the situation.
Oh, just one other comment. I did see a report that even though when the CFIA people and the police moved in on Monday, they were just in their regular uniforms. But my understanding was late yesterday after the bail wall had been put up, they could see people in hazmat suits, which I would think would be an indication of perhaps what they were planning to move towards then as far as the culling is concerned.
Yeah, I wouldn't really describe them as hazmat suits. I did see four people in the area of the bail wall wearing white personal protective suits and masks, but it wasn't like full hazardous material suits.
Gotcha.
The rest of the officers who were closer to like the home on the farm, like kind of the other part of the farm, they've just been in their regular uniforms, but I have seen people in the white personal protective suits inside the enclosure area, yes.
Again, I'm kind of pulling questions up as you're talking here. Just logistically, has there been any talk, if indeed they destroyed this herd of 400 ostriches, they're massive creatures, what are they going to do with them? Any talk of that?
I'm not entirely sure, actually. I think the regional district had expressed some concern around being able to take this kind of large amount of like biohazardous material. So I don't actually have a clear answer on that question.
Sure. Well, it's a story that continues to unfold hour by hour here, and we'll see how it plays out here in the coming days. Our guest is Brenna Owen, Canadian press reporter at the Ostrich Farm in BC. Thanks so much for your time, Brenna.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Yeah, you bet. And a very emotional situation if you've seen any of the footage from the ostrich farm. Of course, this is crushing for this family. This has been their lifeblood for many years, and a lot of people are upset with the way CFIA has handled it. But on the other side, the science side of it, people are saying, well, a good number of those birds were infected and died from avian flu last year, and the concern is the spread of avian flu, especially if it's a very serious strain, could jeopardize other animal flocks, be it chicken farms. And we've seen those kind of outbreaks in other parts of North America. But a difficult day for that family, and a difficult day for the police and the CFIA people who are involved in this. But it certainly looks like they're moving towards a culling of those 400 birds here, potentially, I'm guessing, sometime this week. But as our reporter had mentioned, they had built a bail wall to, I guess, probably contain some of the ostriches and perhaps to even block the view of people from the outside. But that has burned. No indication yet how that fire got started. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show. Thank you for being here. Brent Laux filling in one more day. Evan's back in tomorrow on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Morning. We kicked off the Evan Bray Show having a chat with Bob Freeburg. Bob is Saskatchewan's firearms commissioner, and we were talking about the federal government announcing this week that they are going to begin their much talked about and long awaited gun buyback program. They're starting it with a pilot project based in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. But even though they're starting that the 1st of October, the federal minister says they're doing this to make sure everything works properly so we can open the program nationwide later in the fall. Do you think that's really going to happen across the country? A lot of our people texting in on this topic at 1-877-332-8255, they make a good point, and that is, where's all this money coming from? With the amount of debt that the federal government is carrying these days, the question is, with our debt out of control, as one of our listeners says, why are they throwing all this money at a gun buyback program that is really going to have little impact on criminal gun use? 1-877-332-8255. Another listener says, if I'm required to offer up my firearm, is there a bargaining process as far as the value? I highly doubt it. I just can't see that. Who comes up with the value? Well, it'll be some bureaucrat in this program that will come up with a value for the type of firearm that you're having to turn in. But the fact that they say they're going to roll out this program across the nation later this fall, stay tuned, I would say. The choice will be you either turn in your firearm or you take steps to have it rendered inoperable and prove that it's inoperable. They say they've already been doing this for businesses, you know, sporting goods stores, gun shops. They ran that program from last fall until the end of April. And they had a, I guess you could say, a pretty good response to that. They collected over 12,000 of these firearms, and they handed out $22 million in compensation. So the way it's going to work for these people in Cape Breton, people that have a valid gun license will then be notified by the RCMP that, you know, basically they're saying, we know you've got this gun and we have the program and you're eligible to participate. They're dancing around this with their wording, aren't they? Like nowhere so far they're saying, even Carney was quoted as saying, oh no, it's voluntary. Well, it is voluntary until you decide you're not going to take part in this. Government officials say that on October 1st, for people that own guns in New Brunswick, there will be an online portal whereby gun owners can declare their interest in participating in the program. So that's really the choices you've got. You've got, yes, fully participation. You let them know that you're willing to take part, and somehow they're going to come collect your gun and you will get some kind of compensation for it. That's your first choice. And of course, that's the choice the government is hoping everyone will take. The other choice is you could pay to have your gun rendered inoperable. I don't know why anybody would do that myself. If the government's going to take it and destroy it, why pay that expense yourself? Or the third option is you just say, I'm not going to take part in this program, and legally just let the chips fall where they may. So it's going to be interesting to see how the test program rolls out in Cape Breton, and then with the minister saying we're going to go nationwide on this later this fall. Will that really happen? Stay tuned. Beautiful morning. Brent Laux with you. We got a lot happening on the Evan Bray Show here today. We are going to be checking in with Regina Police Service Deputy Trent Steveley. He'll be in talking about some of the latest crime numbers that people are seeing in Regina these days. And for our Regina listeners, if you've got a question or a concern relating to police matters, we'd love to hear from you. You can text your information at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. And we'll get to Deputy Trent Steveley coming up after 10 here today. This is a construction week. A week where they talk about construction in Saskatchewan. Shannon Friesen, the president and CEO of the Construction Association of Saskatchewan, is going to check in with us here around about 10:30. And being Wednesday, you know what happens every Wednesday on the Evan Bray Show after 11 o'clock? It'll be time for Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener for Little Town Apparel. It'll be interesting to hear from so many of our highly intelligent people of Saskatchewan that like to join us on Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener. The only way you can play the game is to phone me. Again, that'll be after 11 o'clock. A guy that I know that I work with, Craig Siliphant. You often hear Craig on our Ralco radio stations. Pop culture critic. Knows a lot about the world of pop culture, but he's also an author, and he's got a brand new book. It's called Bunny Hug Cynic. We're going to talk to him coming up just after 11:30 today. And then at noon, Carl Neggers is going to be here. We've heard Carl before on the station. He's the CEO of Forest Saskatchewan. And besides being construction week, this is also forestry week. So we're going to be talking to Carl about the importance of forests in our province for the economy, for our nature. Also, we'll get some thoughts from him on the impact of this year's wildfire season. And with that, saw an interesting article where there's going to be something like 50 satellites that are going to be used globally, circling the Earth or stationary orbit around the Earth, whatever it may be, as a way to better monitor wildfires anywhere on the planet. So we'll have that discussion coming up after 12 noon today with Carl Neggers. Carl is the CEO of Forest Saskatchewan and SM Solutions. Anything on your mind today? Love to hear from you at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Boy, I saw a disturbing photograph. One of our staff here, friends with these folks, out by Elrose this week, two combines burning. Gosh, you know, thank goodness nobody hurt, but what a loss. And harvest season, you know, it almost never fails. Every harvest, you hear about equipment fires. Stuff happens. Stuff overheats. I get that. But just also underlies the danger of farming and to the folks impacted by that. And you know how Saskatchewan people are? I know full well the folks, the Elrose Fire Department, of course, they'd be a volunteer fire department. They responded to these combine fires this week. And a lot of neighbors would show up because that's Saskatchewan, right? And I shouldn't say it's just Saskatchewan because, you know, in any rural community, people are so spread out, but people come together in times of tragedy and in times of help. And I have no doubt that the family affected by this combine fire will be getting help from their friends and neighbors that will be stepping up to help them finish harvest. And everybody out there was no one injured in these fires, my understanding, but everybody, just a reminder to be safe as you're out there combining, doing your farm work. And man, look at that weather for all the farm work. We love this, don't we? Anything outside. We'll take more of that. Daytime highs, 30 for Regina today, 26 or so Saskatoon area. Normal is around 15 or 16 degrees, so we're staying above normal. Good combine in weather for, it looks like, the next week or so. We'll take it. Love this time of year. Brent Louts with you, filling in one more day. Evan's back tomorrow. This is the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.